When I was about 5 years old, my parents asked me, said, would you like to play t-ball? I thought, you know, I've seen my brothers play, and I thought, yeah, it'd be fun to play. So we went down to the YMCA, and we signed up, and didn't have the year that I exactly planned for. I remember the last ball game, we had a perfect record, and we continued that perfect record. I remember getting into the car, and I was crying, and Dad asked me, what's wrong? And I said, I don't want to play baseball ever again. And he said, why? And I said, because we lost. We didn't win a game. And at this point, this was where my first application started of my life with baseball. Dad told me, not everything in your life is going to be easy and is going to happen exactly the way that you plan it. But the thing is that you persevere, you keep on trying, and you do the best that you can. So, tonight I want to talk to you about three coaches that I had and the applications and the things that they taught me in coaching me in baseball. First off, I want to start off with Junior Babe Ruth. We were 12 and 13 years old, I believe. The coach's name was Douglas Eubanks. Many of you know Douglas as Hobo. Hobo taught Junior Babe Ruth for many years, and he keyed on the basics of baseball. Hitting, running, throwing, catching, and he told the boys, if you watch any Major League Baseball game, if this team is going to be successful, they're going to have to do the basics. They're going to have to know how to catch the ball. They're going to know how to have to throw the ball, where to throw the ball. They're going to have to be able to hit the ball. They're going to be able to have to run. This is much like the basics that we teach our children. The things that we teach our children are going to have application throughout the rest of their spiritual life. This is much like Deuteronomy 6:6-8. And that reads, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, for they shall be frontlets between their eyes. Next thing, the rules change as you get older. The baselines get longer. The pitchers are able to throw balls a little bit faster. The talent level all around takes a step up. This is much like us when we become Christians. We're babes. Reminds me of Hebrews 5:12-14. It says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, that ye have need that one teach you again, which be for the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. But everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those for by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's nothing wrong with being a t-ball player. There's nothing wrong with being a young Christian, a babe in Christ, and needing this milk. But as we get older, things are going to get tougher. We need to test ourselves, push ourselves to learn more and more. Also in T-ball, they have a 6-run limit. And this is a little different, or a lot different from the major leagues where there is no maximum amount of runs. that they can score in a particular inning. The key to this is in order to win a ball game, all you've got to do is play one inning of defense. One inning of defense will win you a ball game, but you have to continue to play offense. Just like last Friday night, we were playing in a ball game. Zach's team, first inning, had the team down, held them to 5 runs, and I thought, we've got them. All we've got to do is score our 6 runs every inning, and there's no way this team can beat us. Well, we got to the last inning, had runners on first and second with one out. Our cleanup hitter walked up to the plate and struck out. And I thought, only if he could have been able to hit the ball, we would have continued to score the 6 runs, and there's no way that they would have been able to beat us. Well, spiritually, we have to play a good offense. This is much like 2 Timothy 2:15, which reads, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is a very good spiritual offense. And what is a very good spiritual defense? Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is James 4 and 7. So as long as when we're little, we're Zach's age, we're Luke's age, you know, the little things that we have to do is just honor mom and dad. And we just got to, you know, do what we have to do. But as we get older, we're going to be pressed. We're going to have to do more. But we've got to continue to keep playing offense. The next coach I want to talk about tonight is Carlos Black. Many of you know that Carlos is Daryl Black's father. His nickname was Poochie. Poochie was a very positive person. I don't think I ever heard Poochie say anything that was negative. Poochie taught several things, one of which was attitude. Poochie always wanted his players to have the right attitude. He wanted us to have the right attitude toward our teammates and toward our other coaches. This is much like John 15 and 17, where it says, these things I command you, that you love one another. I remember when I was in high school, we were playing in a ball game against Randolph, and we ended up losing the ball game. And the coach told our coach, he said, you know, coach, it's a shame that you had to lose that ball game. And our coach said, well, why is that? And he said, because your team is such a close-knit group, and mine are a bunch of individualists that don't care at all about their fellow teammate. And that's sad. The other thing that Poochie wanted us to have the right attitude about was our opponent and their coaches. Be a good sportsman. This is much like Romans 12, 19 through 21. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For if in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It's not always being a good sportsman to your opponent, but it's something that we definitely need to learn. The other people that we need to have the right attitude about is the umpires on the field and also for the fans. This is much like Matthew 5 and 44. That reads, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Another thing that Poochie, he taught us, is to have confidence. When we would go up to bat or we would go to the field, Poochie always said, have the attitude that I can. Because if you have the attitude that you can, you're halfway there. This is much like Philippians 4 and 13. Spiritually speaking, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The next thing that Poochie taught us, he was a motivator. There wasn't a time that we came off the field. It didn't matter. Didn't matter if we were up 100 points or if we were down 100 points. Poochie always clapped his hands. He came out of the dugout and he was screaming, "Let's go, let's go, let's score some runs. We need some points." Poochie always knew how to motivate his team. And that's much like knowing what to say and when to say it. We need to be an encouragement to our fellow Christians and not a roadblock. This is much like Proverbs 25 and verse 11. "But a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver." The third coach I want to talk to you about, many of you know, dear friend, do a lot for him, anything for him if he called. Many of you know that Coach Merle's a good friend. You do anything for him. But he taught situation baseball. Always be thinking. Be looking at the coach. He was a strategist. How can we find a niche? How can we score a point? How can we get an out? In offense, Coach Merle was big on giving signs. He'd be standing on third base. He'd touch his hat. He'd touch his chin. He'd come down his sleeve. He'd touch his belt. He was talking to us. He wanted us to do exactly what he wanted. It would have been very bad if he had a called for a squeeze bunt and we had been swinging, because he had a lot of faith in us to do exactly as he said. And that man coming down the third baseline, if we've got a squeeze bunt on and we swing, he's liable to get his head knocked off. But that's much like spiritually James 1 and 24. "But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving you your own selves." Defensively, Coach Merle, he would call plays. This was something that was very new to me. I'd never heard this before. But he would call plays and who covered what bag. If the batter squared to bunt, who covered the baselines? Where the ball was going to be thrown. You know, the whole time I'd been playing baseball, the first baseman, he always took the first baseline. The third baseman took the third baseline. The pitcher, he was coming out, just anything, just right out in front. But Coach Merle was a strategist. He didn't want to leave third base open. He'd move that pitcher over. If he squares to bunt, you've got the third baseline. Third baseman stayed there. And maybe vice versa. We also had calls many times. Darryl was our catcher. Darryl would pick at his shoulder. That meant when I get the ball, that runner's playing off a little far on first base. I'm coming back to you with the ball. We're going to catch him. We were communicating with one another. That was one of the things that Coach Merle talked to us about always being ready. Think ahead. If you're out in the field and you're playing shortstop, be thinking, if the ball comes to me, what exactly am I going to do? What move am I going to make? This is much like we need to be as Christians, especially if we're young folks here. If you think about situations before you're in them and you make up your mind before you enter into that situation and you make up your mind, I am going to do exactly this. It's so much easier to do that. If you know, for instance, if you think in your mind, if I go to a party and there's things going on there, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave. No matter what, I'm going to leave. If you walk into that situation, it's easy. I've made up my mind. I'm turning around and I'm leaving. In 1 Peter 3:15, it reads, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There are other things that we can learn from baseball. We can learn about having too much confidence. That's much like 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Another thing is commitment and dedication. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. The last thing I want to talk to you about tonight that baseball can teach us is allegiance. Many of you know that Brad McCowan is a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Many of you also know that Jimmy Nance is an Atlanta Braves fan. I can guarantee you that they will not swap shirts. They're not. Brad's not going to wear an Atlanta Braves shirt, and Jimmy's not going to wear a St. Louis Cardinals shirt. That's much like we need to be as Christians. We need to have an allegiance to God. We don't need to be putting on that shirt of the devil, doing what he needs. That's much like in Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.